So we've been reading this article. This section of our Leadership in the Workplace article is actually called What's More Important to Young People Than Cool Perks or a Fancy Office? And this is the second part of that article that we're going to be reading today. We're looking at page 29 in your Advanced magazine for May 18th. The article we've read so far has described the way that career development has been changing with different generations. And so maybe we'll review first here some of the concepts that we were introduced to yesterday. I guess the first one would be the different generations. And yesterday we talked about three different generations. Zach, can you tell us what those generations were and tell us a little bit about each one?
Sure. So yesterday we learned a little bit about three different generations. First, baby boomers. They came first. They are kind of considered the generation that would have come after World War II due to the increase of babies, people coming home from war, starting families, and high numbers of children. They then would have given birth to Generation X. And Generation X is an interesting one as they were trying to kind of figure out their times and all the changes going on. So they're kind of considered, Simon had brought up, that they were kind of the lost generation trying to figure out their own expectation and kind of where they fit in. And then are the millennials. And the millennials, they were born, right, I think in the late 80s?
Or 80s or 90s.
Yeah, I like to think I'm kind of a millennial. I was born a little bit earlier than that, but
I thought they were kind of around the, closer to the year 2000.
Yeah, I think of them as basically the people who kind of became adults. They kind of grew up, came of age around the year 2000.
I see. And so, yeah, depending on where you're at in life around that time would kind of give you a clue.
And I might mention there were people before the baby boomers. I was born before that.
Oh, that's true.
But then they had all these people that were born during the Depression and, you know, the wars and stuff. So we're just starting down at that. You know, there were people before that. Remember?
That's right. I think the reason they've mentioned these three is that for the most part, these are the three generations you see big numbers of these people still active in the work world.
Right? That's right.
And so different generations with different expectations and how people go about structuring a career and what companies are to do with their workers.
So if we talk a little bit about those expectations in the past for baby boomers and Generation X and generations that came before them, you have a situation where people would graduate from school and they'd start work at a company and they would maybe change jobs in that company, but they would spend their career with that company before they retired. But now that is changing for millennials. Doris, how is it changing?
Well, it says that they don't have as many incentives now to stay, that they used to say, if you stay longer, you get this and you get this, and they don't have that. And so people are trying to navigate different careers now, and they're trying to get a more knowledge of different things by going to another company. That's changing quite a bit, and I think it affects the workplace a lot.
Yeah, there was a term they used at the beginning of yesterday that describes this millennial behavior. We said they bounced around different jobs, which means they kind of changed companies and changed jobs. And as a result of that situation they find themselves in, we learned yesterday that these millennials really place a high priority on jobs that let them learn and grow and give them a chance to be promoted. And so that was basically where we left off at the end of yesterday. And that brings us to today, where we're going to start talking about this idea of a super boss. And just briefly, at the end of yesterday's program, we heard that when people ask, how do you manage millennials? An expert said that you should be a super boss. And he defined that as saying you should be a leader who helps workers accomplish more than they ever thought possible. So with that said, let's start today's first reading.
He said the idea of superbosses resonates particularly with people under 35. Why? Superbosses create master-apprentice relationships and spend a good chunk of each day interacting with their team. Superbosses give a seat at the table and space to be creative and innovate. Importantly, they're supportive of careers, even when a path takes employees away from the company. From his perspective, hiring managers need to catch up and realize being a stepping stone job isn't a bad thing.
Well, I think everybody that's a boss would like to be a super boss. I mean, you want to be a good boss, not just give orders, but you want to support people. And I know when I've been in charge of people, I try to think, now, how will this help them grow and be supportive to them? And I think a good boss always thinks about how can they help the people under them grow. I think that's been a trend all the time for super bosses through these different generations.
That's right. I think most of the people who are in leadership want to be good leaders. They want to be good bosses. But this term super boss that they're using today, they don't really mean super boss, meaning a really good boss. This is a specialized term, and you see throughout this paragraph they keep using the pronoun he. They keep saying he said, and that person, that he, is Sidney Finkelstein, and he's a professor of management and director of the Leadership Center at Dartmouth College's Business School, and we were introduced to him at the end of yesterday's article. So today, Dr. Finkelstein, or Professor Finkelstein, he gives us sort of a description of some of the different things that these super bosses do.
So in the idea with super bosses that they create a master-apprentice relationship. And so the idea there is that there is kind of the mentor or a leader that is equipping the worker, right? The apprentice. The apprentice is someone you can think of as a student, a disciple, someone that's looking up to their boss or their leader. And they are kind of getting that skill. They're not just, you know, receiving all the demands or the commands, but they're learning and they are becoming more equipped. And that's probably meeting that expectation of the millennials and the Generation X.
Well, it says here that they spend a good chunk, which means a good part of their time each day, interacting and talking to and discussing things with their team. They don't just sit there and say, you do this and you do that, but they talk about it. Shall we do this? Shall we do that?
Yeah, that's right. And that is expanded upon actually in the next sentence where they say super bosses give a seat at the table. And that really just means you let someone participate in the discussion and the leadership decision making. It's also interesting that this relationship has been defined as a master-apprentice relationship. An apprentice, of course, is a person who is learning a job. They're being trained, but they're being trained while they're working mm-hmm. by their boss who has already mastered those skills. So the idea here is that you're working very closely with your teacher, and that person is sort of taking a hands-on approach to training you and teaching you. And you see that with things like super bosses giving a seat at the table to younger employees. You're letting them see how decisions are made.
And what else? You're giving them the space to be creative, which means that you're letting them do some of their ideas and say, well, I don't know. You let them have a chance and let them innovate things and say, well, let's try your way and not just always my way. So a super boss lets the younger people take control of certain things, don't they?
That's right. And it gives us one last characteristic, and this is the one that strikes me as being the one that's kind of difficult if you're trying to run a company. And we talked a little bit about that before. It says, importantly, they're supportive of careers even when a path takes employees away from the company.
That's hard. Yeah.
It's got to be hard to do, right? Yeah. Because if you're a good boss, you want to do what's best for the employee. But you also have a responsibility to do what's best for the company. And often that means keeping people, especially people who are doing a good job, so that you have stability at your company.
That's right. It's important, I think, for both the worker and the boss to recognize kind of the situation, and that the manager just manages well and says, you know what, I have to look out for my company. And part of the company is that worker. And so it's trying to find that arrangement. And yeah, it's definitely an interesting take on this idea.
Yeah, and at the very end of this section, we have a term here, stepping stone job. And so it says, from his perspective, and again, that's Professor Finkelstein's perspective, hiring managers, the people who hire people for the job, need to catch up and realize that being a stepping stone job isn't a bad thing. And a stepping stone job is just a job you take so you can gain experience before you get a better job.
Well, we've had to do that several times at Studio Classroom with people, and some of them have gone away to do something else, and some of our teachers have gone and come back two or three times, which is good because they took other jobs, but now they're better because of the other job. So you have to allow people that opportunity. If you leave this job and you want to come back and you've learned something, we welcome you back. I think that's important.
That's right. So I guess if you're trying to be a super boss, what you need to do is find a balance, and that might require a change in how you see things. And so let's go on to our second reading and read about that, performance and point of view. Here we go.
Performance and point of view. For Jigsaw partners Marshall and Wald, promoting two young employees was about more than having token millennials on their team. The fact that they're younger than us can add value in ways that's important to the future of the agency, Marshall said. But it was really much more about performance. Marshall and Wald called the pair into an office conference room to propose the promotions, reworking their structure to accommodate the budding professionals. Every time Jigsaw was pitching new business, Marshall said he wanted Jansen Egan and Ludke in the room.
So now our article takes us back to the perspective of the bosses in the example we were given yesterday, where we were talking about two young millennials who had been promoted to the position of partner at a company called Jigsaw, which specialized in advertising. And this section then begins by telling us that Marshall and Wald, that's the names of the bosses, promoted the two young employees because they wanted them for more than token reasons, I guess. So what is a token millennial or a token employee, Zach?
So in this case, this word token, it just means of real no value, someone just to have for show. It kind of lacks the real meaning.
Yeah, usually when we use this word token, we're talking about a fake coin.
Right.
Like
right.
Maybe you go to a video arcade.
Looks like something, but it isn't, yeah.
Yeah, and you get these fake coins that you put in the machine. So it doesn't actually have any real value.
Right.
But it looks like it might have value. And that's really what a token employee is. It's a person that you've hired because you want to look like you have this person on your team, but you're not really using them very effectively. And so these bosses, they don't want token millennials. They wanted these people for a real reason. They thought they could add value. Doris, has that been your experience? Do young people add value?
Well, I think so, too. You know, not just saying that they add value. Of course, that's important. But it's not only about that. It's like the next paragraph says, it's really much more about their performance. They also have to do something. They cannot just say, well, I'm a millennial, but they have to add value by doing something, and you give them a chance, and it works out.
Yeah, so to be clear here, it's about much more than performance, but that doesn't mean it's not about performance.
Right.
So they've chosen these two young people because they're hardworking and effective and really good at their jobs,
mm-hmm.
but there are other reasons that they've decided to promote them. And they say here that these young people can add value in ways that's important to the future of the agency. And so I think that's really the key. When you're trying to think about the future of your organization, sometimes we talk about how you need to be developing people along the way, right? So that whoever the boss is now, you have a good idea of who the next boss will be so that you can spend time helping them develop those skills.
Well, you know, you usually have kind of a management team, and it could be people sort of the same age and all, but they said the best thing to do is whenever you have, like, your pitch or have a new idea, a new business, then you have these younger people join you and give their ideas. You don't just have a meeting and then tell them about it. They come to the meeting, and they just join in.
Yeah, that's right. I think back, actually, to my own youth. Some of our listeners might know my father was a pastor. And one of the things that I did with my dad all the time was visit hospitals. He would do these visitations one day a week, and I went along with him. And now as an adult, that happens to be a thing I'm actually pretty good at, visiting people in the hospital when they're having difficult times with their family or things like that. And so there really is value in sort of growing up in a position or seeing somebody who's good at it doing this job when the pressure isn't on you to perform. And I think that's kind of what they're talking about here. It says they called the pair, so that was the two young people, into the offerings to propose the promotions. And then they reworked their structure to accommodate the budding professionals. So there's two interesting things there. One is reworking the structure. And I think here they're talking about reworking the organization so that
so
there
they
is
come
a,
to the business meetings,
is a
yeah.
job for mm-hmm. these two younger people.
Sure.
But then they describe them as budding professionals. What do we mean when we call something budding, Zach?
Well, budding kind of gives the idea that they're developing, they're growing into, kind of becoming.
They haven't bloomed yet, but they're going to soon, right?
That's right. A bud is like a flower before mm-hmm. it comes out right. and becomes a flower. And so they're growing into professionals. And so he said he wants them in the room.
And I think it's also important to note that both of this pair, they were promoted to junior partner. They weren't just made partners right. overnight, but there was kind of a process
right.
that they're undergoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think basically what they're referring to here is a process of trying to help these younger people develop. And there's some risk involved with that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are a lot of benefits that you can get out of it. And so as we go on, we'll learn a little bit more about how age has affected these two and their positions. And so let's look at that now with our third reading.
Jansen Egan and Lutke recognize how their age affects the way they're able to craft advertising aimed at young people and their ability to sell it to clients. With the way we've grown up consuming media, it's just different, Lutke said. It clashes with the ideas of consuming media and doing the work of advertising that some of the people who have been in this industry longer have come to experience over time. And, they said, every client is looking to reach people in their age bracket. Lutke said he recently advised a client to invest in producing 6 to 10 second videos to post as Instagram stories. He drew from his own experience, from the social platform, to make the pitch. Jansen Egan and Lutke said they feel valued at Jigsaw in a way they haven't found at other jobs.
So this section started by saying that these two young people, Jansen Egan and Lutke, recognized how their age affects the way they're able to work. And usually when we think about people's age affecting their work, what are we talking about when we say that usually, Zach?
Well, normally when you bring up an age affecting the way that you work, you might be referring to kind of the inexperience or the inability to do the job, that they've not got the proper experience yet in order to kind of to do that job well. But in this case, there's something, a different issue comes to mind, that their age is actually allows them to connect with other clients around the similar age.
Well, it says that they can craft advertising, which means they can develop a different kind of advertising, and we're going to talk about that more in the next paragraph, short things, and make it more attractive to younger people, and then they can sell it more to the clients because it's crafted for what people want to see now.
Right.
And so they realize that, and they let them do it.
That's right. We got this suggestion earlier in the article that career paths have changed with different generations because the situation has changed. And that is also true for the way people think about things or view different things. And we get into that in our second paragraph of this reading where it says, with the way we've grown up consuming media, it's just different. Meaning younger people view media differently than older generations do. And here they describe the way they view it as a clash. They say it clashes with the ideas of consuming media. What do we mean when something clashes?
It just doesn't really go well together, right? That there's these two different
kinds. It's the opposite.
Right.
Right.
Like they almost like they fight.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
come into conflict, right?
Right.
what they like to see is longer or different, or they read or they look at pictures. There's a lot of differences there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so sometimes you hear about this in different places, right? We hear, for example, that young people these days have grown up seeing advertising everywhere and all over the place, and as a result, they can be really hard to reach. It can be really hard to sell them these things using traditional advertising, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. That sort of work of advertising that people who've been working in the industry a long time think of isn't really as effective with younger people. And so these younger advertising executives can really bring a lot of value because of the way they see it.
Exactly, right? They have a little more insight and a little more understanding into that same expectation to kind of anticipate and figure out the best strategy in order to kind of reach that target audience, that they'll have that proper know-how.
Well, and you've noticed, you know, that when they get together around the table, they have the discussions. It's not just with their bosses. Their clients are there. When you do advertising companies, maybe you want to have some, this advertising company advertise for you. So the young people are sitting there with the other older managers. And so the client is right there and they say, now, why don't you spend your money making these little short 10-second videos to put on Instagram stories? Now, if I'm sitting there and Simon's sitting there, and I don't say, Simon, that's not a good idea. I support it because, see, he's younger. And so the older people have to support the younger ideas. Isn't that true, though?
It's always nice to be supported.
Yeah.
Especially when you're right.
Yeah, when you're right. Yeah. And millennials are right.
Millennials are right all the time.
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
But, you know, the whole idea is that you do give them an opportunity to say their plan to the client themselves. They don't just have to wait for the top manager to say it. They let these younger people talk to the clients, which is good.
That's right.
Don't
so we're seeing a lot of positives here. We actually have a sidebar that kind of refers to this mm-hmm. on today's article. It's at the top of page 29. It says, change is everywhere. And, of course, we've been talking about how generations have changed and the work has changed. And so now careers are also changing. In this sidebar, Zach, do you want to just read it for us?
I'd love to. All right. So change is everywhere. Everything is changing in the world. It's kind of obvious, said Finkelstein, listing power players such as Uber and Amazon challenging traditional business. Why would anyone think there wouldn't be disruption going on in how they think about their careers?
Yeah, and so that's what we've just been talking about.
Right.
The whole situation's changing, and so everything has to change with it. Otherwise, it just doesn't work so much anymore.
Well, and they give two prime examples of businesses that might be taking to this kind of model. Both Uber and Amazon, I think of our companies, they're not necessarily your traditional companies. They're kind of making these appropriations and for change and for these different, for workers to kind of have a seat at the table.
Yeah, and those are examples of companies that use a lot of technology and they're very modern in the way they do things and they're very convenient and they use a lot of, you know, web-based solutions for things. And actually, that is also kind of true for advertising these days, right? And so we see that as we continue on with our text here, where our young people say that every client is looking to reach people in their age bracket being younger people. And so there's a lot of value in advertising to young people.
Well, and you've noticed that these young people that we're talking about, Jensen here, Louis, they said that they feel valued at Jigsaw in a way that they didn't find at other jobs. Now, by going to other companies, they saw how other companies worked, and they could see that this other Jigsaw valued them even more. So when you let people go to another company, and then they can kind of compare, and they say, well, this other company was pretty good. So instead of just thinking your company's good or not good, you go someplace else, and sometimes you appreciate your original company more, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we see that actually with some of our own staff here at mm-hmm. Studio Classroom. We've had people who've gone on and done other things, and then they come back, right? So that's the way it goes. Our Mr. Ludke here, our junior executive, he goes on to give an example of how his age and sort of his own experiences have fit together to really benefit a client. He says he recently advised a client or, you know, made the suggestion to a client that the person or the company should invest in producing 6 to 10 second videos to post as Instagram stories.
Now, what can you tell in 6 seconds?
Well, that's the thing. It's a very different kind of way of doing things. But if you're familiar with using Instagram, you know that you don't want stories to be very long. If they are, you just flip past them, right?
Right. An interesting approach to that, meeting that expectation of the millennial generation, I think, right? What's going to get their imagination? And not only their imagination, but what's going to keep their attention. And it seems like this platform is kind of, it's almost surprising, 6 to 10 seconds, but I think it's very telling,
too. That's short attention span.
Yeah, right? And you can sort of see how that works, right? I mean, when you use a social media platform, if there's something on it and everybody's doing it, but you find it annoying, you know, like you really don't want to be watching this thing over and over again, it's probably not a good way to do advertising. And so being able to rely on your own user experience is a pretty valuable thing.
Right, absolutely. I think they'll have a little more expectation in figuring out what is going to get their attention.
Well, we've got another day ahead.
That's right. And there's one more benefit they use here. They say they're valued at their jobs. You mentioned that before. And I think that's an important thing, especially for millennials who... You know, people don't always say the nicest things about millennials. They don't always act in a way that's very supportive of them. So for them to feel that they're able to contribute and their work is valued, I think that's an important thing. And maybe it suggests that this is a good way to do career development for you. Something to think about.
They look pretty happy in the photo we have here of them on the magazine. But come back tomorrow. We've got one more day.
That's right. Come and join us then.
See you then.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.